We got our children to come. We'll dismiss you guys to children's church. They're learning about perseverance and determination and endurance. And we praise the Lord for these guys. Come on up, Dean. Come on, guys. Girls. I think the girls may outnumber the boys now. It was the opposite of the other service. So we pray for these girls and boy, in Jesus' name, we pray you would bless them. Teach them your word. Help them obey everything they hear and read. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have Bibles in your seats there in front of you. And if you need a Bible, we want to encourage you to take one home. If you have a Bible at home and you just forgot it today, just use that one. We're going to go through a passage of Scripture, probably real close to an entire chapter today, because it's a story, a really good story. Today's message is for Mother's Day. It's called Hannah's Hope. Hannah's Hope. And today we celebrate a tradition that was started in 1908 in the United States when a woman named Anna Jarvis suggested to her church in Philadelphia to hold a special church service in honor of moms. She did that and it became known as Mother's Day, and soon the tradition started to spread across America. And in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson made a declaration and declared that the second Sunday of May would forever be known in the United States as Mother's Day. And so it's a good thing to honor our moms because they do so much for us. Amen? Isn't that true? So it's a good thing to honor our moms for their love, for their effort, for all that they do for us. It's a blessing to have present today not only many mothers, but also others that are here to bless their wives or stepmoms or moms or mothers-in-laws. My mother-in-law is here all the way from Florida. We bless her in Jesus' name. So as beautiful an occasion as this is, Mother's Day can also be a painful experience for many. Some of us can't help but reflect on ways that we wish we'd been better parents in one way or another. Some wish they had better parents. Maybe they were abused as children. Some wish that they had been better sons or daughters to their parents. That's maybe my case a little bit, right? For some, it's filled with regret in certain areas. Some Mother's Day is a painful reminder of wayward children, of broken relationships. It can be even filled with painful loss. Others among us have long and desperately desired to have children. They haven't been able to have children, and maybe you know someone that is in that case. They wanted to start a family, and yet for whatever reason in God's providence, they haven't been able to do so. But whatever may be going on in your heart, whatever may be going on in your life today, I believe God has a message for you, a word that if you will let it sink deep down into your spiritual DNA this morning, it'll take root in your heart and in your mind, and it can be a day to remember and even treasure as you walk forward in life this Mother's Day. It's a message that involves one of the most famous mothers in history. Her name is Hannah. But as much as she is remembered for some very special things, as we'll go through them in a few minutes, this message can apply to men just as much as it can apply to women. This message can apply to those who are expecting as well as to those who have long given up expecting. It can be a message to those who are hurting and disillusioned, and those who are happy and satisfied in the Lord. So let's turn our Bibles open to the ninth book of the Bible. It's 2 Samuel. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel. So it's the ninth book. If you have trouble, it's right before 2 Samuel. That should help you a lot. So as you turn to 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, rather, 1 Samuel, you'll discover the story of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. we will learn from this mother three very important things that God shows us that will encourage us and bless us as they did Hannah almost 3,000 years ago. And they can bless us just as much as they did Hannah today. They're timeless principles. So let's look at this story together. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 says, "There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu." How many of you like these names so far? Some of you, if you have new babies, you can take these names down. You might want to use Tohu or something. "The son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The one was called Hannah, and the other Peniah. Peniah had children, but Hannah had none." So right from the beginning, we get a sense of just how old this story is. It dates back to the days far before Jesus, about 1,000 years before Jesus, before the kings, before the prophets. There was a couple of prophets before Samuel, but Samuel was one of those starting to be a major prophet. He has a lot to say in biblical history. So he is a judge of Israel. That's like our modern day. Before the kings, there was judges, and that would be like the modern day governor or a very popular general in the country that ruled the country and settled disputes and so on. So Elkanah, he had two wives, Hannah and Peniah. At this time, nothing, get this, nothing could be worse for a woman than to be married for many years and have no children. Children in those days were like God showered blessings upon you. And if you didn't have children, not only did you deal with your own stuff, how many ladies at some age time, they just want to have babies, right? That's a natural thing that God gives. And to not only have that inner pressure, but then to have societal pressure, like, look at you, like something was wrong. But Hannah was worse than that. Hannah was worse than that because the only thing worse than that would be to be the first or second wife in a situation like that, and the other wife be blessed with all these children, and you were stuck with none. That was where Hannah found her situation. The next verse goes on, verse 3, we keep reading. It says, "Year after year, this man Elkanah went up from his hometown to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peniah and to all her sons and daughters." So she had lots of children. "But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb." Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Isn't that nice? This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, with all the loving compassion he had, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat?" Sounds like Anna's house. You know, eat something, right? "Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Isn't it amazing how sometimes men just don't get it? I mean, if a woman is really desiring to have a baby, his words that he just spoke kind of fell short, wouldn't you say? They just didn't measure up. Hannah was in a miserable situation, and although her husband loved her, he didn't fully understand the pain and what she was going through in her life, the sorrow and sadness. But Hannah responded to all this in a way that should challenge every single one of us this morning. Because as hurtful as her situation was, she did something that far too few of us do when we're hurting or when we're happy. For that matter, So I urge every one of you here today to do what Hannah did. If you'll turn in your the sermon notes, there's a bulletin, and in the bulletin is some sermon notes. You can take the notes here. Here's the first one to fill out. Make prayer a priority. That's the first thing Hannah did. Make prayer a priority. How do you usually respond when life gets you down? How do you react when someone treats you poorly? If you're like most of us, you don't typically, a lot of people don't typically just turn to God. They don't naturally react and say, God, and take that to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes people get really angry with God when things don't turn their way. They actually turn away from God when things get bad. But not Hannah. Look at let's read some more, starting at verse 9. Once when they had finished eating and drinking at Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Remember before, she wasn't eating. She just was patiently there with the family because the rival was provoking her. So Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In Hannah, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. She made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and do not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying with her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Boy, sometimes men just don't get it, do they? This could be a whole sermon on communication for men, couldn't it? Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am not a woman. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. I want you to notice with me a few verses real quick. Verse 10 says, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. Verse 12 says, she kept on praying. Verse 13, Hannah was praying in her heart. Verse 15, notice the effectiveness of her prayer, the passion of her prayer. It says she was pouring out her soul to the Lord. In Lamentations, Jeremiah was pouring out his soul like water before the throne of grace. I want you to look back to verse 5 where it says the Lord closed her womb. Do you remember that? That's not a fun verse for us to read. Now, we know today that there are many reasons that women do not have children. In those days, there was only one recognized reason why a married woman would fail to have children. Only one. Because the Lord did not favor her. That was what they said. That was the common belief. That's what everybody thought and poured out on them. Whatever else might be going on, whether medically or otherwise, no matter what issue might be happening in her life, the common perception at the time was that the Lord had something against the woman and there was no children. Just as simple as that. We know that the Lord was not playing favorites between Peninnah and Hannah. That God was not punishing Hannah for something. There's no mention of that in Scripture, that she was so evil or whatever that God did this, you know, to be a punishment. None of that says that in the Bible, but Hannah didn't know that at the time, and the perception around Hannah was not that way. So it may be that God's way with Hannah was quite different from His way with Peninnah. It may be that God wanted to draw something out of Hannah's soul that only prayer could draw out. It may be that God wanted Hannah's prayers more than Hannah wanted a child. We don't know the reasons. But what if something is similar and true for you? What if God has something in store for you? Something in store for your future? Something for your children or your marriage or your family as a whole that only prayer can bring about? James, the brother of Jesus, writes down in James 4:2, he says, "You have not because you do not ask God." We believe at South Bay Bible Church that the spiritual life is a series of next steps. And if you take out that communication card, can everybody do that and wave that in your bulletin? There's a communication card. On the back of that communication card, you fill out the front of it. On the back of it, there's some next steps. This might be a next step that God wants you to take this morning. Look at this on screen. It says, and it's on your communication card, memorize James 4:2. I said, well, that's pretty easy. I already got it. Well, commit it to memory, because when you're going through something, oftentimes we forget to ask God for it. We forget to give that to God in prayer. And here James says, you don't have because you don't ask God. Commit that to memory. And when you start to go through something, it'll be a gut reaction after a while to take that to God in prayer. If we would only see the things that God wants to do in us and for us, we would do like Hannah did and make prayer a priority for us. And our lives and our priorities would be turned upside down. Everything would be changed and be different. We wouldn't just pray before meals in a ritualistic kind of way. We would go to God in everything in prayer. Like Hannah, we would pray and keep on praying. Like Hannah, we would pour out our souls to the Lord before God. Like Hannah, we would pray until people might question our sobriety because we're praying so much. Make prayer a priority. And that may be where God wants you today. Maybe that's your next step. So on that communication card, if you check this and turn this in later on, if you say, God, Pastor, I need to make prayer a priority, I'll promise to pray for you this week that God will help you take that next step in your life. So check that box and you can turn that card in later. So make prayer a priority. The second thing that we see from this passage of Scripture is make worship a habit. Make worship a habit. Fill that in on your sermon notes this morning. Look at verse 19. We'll read verse 19 and 20. It says, early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. One of the reasons Mother's Day is the third most attended Sunday in North American churches is that loving sons and daughters know that it means a lot to moms to come to church with them. So they'll take them to breakfast and bring them to church, or bring them to, you know, come to church with them and then take them to lunch. And that's a good thing to do. It's a wonderful thing to love your mom and respect her and bless her with a gift like coming to church with her. But notice what Hannah and Elkanah did before returning home. They worshiped. They worshiped the Lord. Not only that, but if you look back in this chapter to verses 3 and 7, you'll see that worship was a habit for Elkanah and Hannah and his family. That it was an integral part of their lives. And I want to suggest to you this morning that if you not only want to please your mom today, which is a nice thing to do, but you also want the best life that God has in mind for you, if you want to His blessing on your marriage, if you want God's best for your family, if you want your children to grow up with godly examples of how to live life and solve problems according to the author of the universe's instructions, if you want to know more about God's peace, if you want to know more about God's power in your life, then do like Hannah and make worship a priority in every single thing you do, every day, every week. I heard a story of a young mother who once asked her preacher, I have a 3-year-old son, when should I begin spiritual training for that child? And the preacher said, ma'am, you've already lost 3 years. It should start in our family on day one. I'm not here to nag anyone into attending church, but I do want to challenge and inspire everyone here, even longtime churchgoers, to make worship a habit in your life, a regular part of your life, not just weekly on Sunday when we meet together as a church, but every single day of your life. Worship God is about changing your life. We don't tell God, we don't praise God and tell Him how wonderful He is because He needs that. He's not on an ego trip. That's to remind us of the God that we serve. He's infinite. He has infinite power. And we remind ourselves of that when we worship God. It renews your mind. It revives your heart. Worship restores your energy. It relieves your burdens and your sorrows. Worship changes your life. Worship gets your mind off of yourself and onto your Creator. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you need to check the box that says, this week I'm going to focus on making worship a habit. That needs to be where I'm at. Spending a little bit of time thinking and meditating on the Lord each morning. So make prayer a priority, make worship a habit. Finally, the third thing that Hannah is showing us today is right here. Make sacrifice an expectation. Make sacrifice an expectation. Look at verse 21. We're going to read the rest of the story. When her husband Elkanah went up with his family and to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, her husband Elkanah told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Now here's just a short disclaimer. You know, every commercial has a footnote now with all that little fine print. Here's the fine print today. Don't leave your children here today. Okay? Just kidding. This boy Samuel became a mighty man of God. A mighty man of God. The sacrifice that Hannah gave brought blessing into this boy's life. It was just amazing. He became the last judge of Israel. Became a mighty prophet of God that spoke over Israel. He carried the word of the Lord. The last judge, the first of the prophets, really. But notice something else. Hannah prayed with great feeling, with great passion for a child. And after God gave her a son, then she, of all things to do, she gave that child back to God. After which God blessed her with 3 more sons and 2 daughters, 5 more children. Can you imagine? Can you imagine for a moment having that little baby of yours weaned, maybe 1.5 years, 2 years old, and you take him. Now, this is a trip from wherever they lived to Shiloh was a trip. They couldn't just run down, walk down to the church and see their their son Samuel every day. They left him there and they only saw him once a year. Later on, it talks about Hannah making clothes for Samuel and bringing him gifts every year when she would see him because she missed him. What mother wouldn't miss her son? She didn't see his first steps. She didn't celebrate his second birthday, probably. What heartache she must have carried. It was a sacrifice for Hannah to give her son to the Lord. But that's what she did. She sacrificed for the Lord. In Hannah's example, we follow and dedicate our own children to the church, in the church. We take young children, and one of the best services I participate in that God allows me to give is when we take a small child and we hold him up to the Lord and we say, God, we want you to bless this child. We give him to you. We dedicate him to you as he lives. The parents make a promise before God to raise this child up in the ways of God. The church congregation takes a promise in there to help and support and encourage that family, to bless and encourage them in parenting this child. This is the story that we get that from. We try to follow Hannah's example in dedicating that child to God for his service. There's something else going on in Hannah's story, something that is true for every parent, and that is parenting involves sacrifice. If you're a mother, you know that sacrifice is part of the equation. Dads too. Parents sacrifice sleep for their children when they come home late at night. Parents don't sleep well till they get home, do they? Parents sacrifice money for their children. Parents sacrifice sleep for their children. Parents sometimes sacrifice sanity for their children, don't they? But not only parents sacrifice. In every community, in every single church, there are kids who need loving adults to come alongside of them, to teach them and encourage them and show them the ways of God. Maybe those kids have wonderful parents, but maybe some of them have broken relationships with one or both of the parents. Maybe they simply need love and wisdom from someone who's filled with the love of God and the wisdom of God to come alongside of them and bless them and help them navigate life a little bit. So if you're not a mother, you may still be called on to be a spiritual mom today. It's not easy. It'll take commitment. It'll take perseverance. You may not get a lot of praise or rewards or even be noticed. You'll have the ups, you'll have the downs, and you'll have heartbreaks. But it can also be immeasurably rewarding as you see that little life growing and shaping to be more like Jesus. That sort of sacrifice is why mothers deserve our greatest gratitude. They have sacrificed so much for us, their children. They have given, and they have given some more. And they have repeatedly surrendered their own comfort and benefit for their own sons and daughters so many times. So maybe that's the next step for you today. Maybe you need to make sacrifice an expectation. Maybe you're living a pretty good life and sacrifice really isn't on the radar screen too much. And God is saying, hey, step up. I'm going to call you to sacrifice, and you can be a part of that, like Hannah was. That is also why Mother's Day is such a great occasion to reflect on another sacrifice, the most important sacrifice. The one I believe is reflected in the selfless surrender of moms. It happened on a hill far away, as that old hymn song says, where Jesus laid down his life for every soul in this room. He suffered the cruelest torture. He gave the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I could have the right to become children of God. So that we could have that right. We lost that right in sin. When we were dead in sin and trespasses before Christ came, we gave that right up because we have sinned against God. The penalty for sin is death. We've lied, we've stolen, we've broken every one of God's laws, we've coveted our neighbor's property, we've misused the name of God, we've not been sexually pure, at least it may be just in your thought life, but Jesus says that's the same thing. One commandment I thought I was good on that I hadn't committed was murder, and then I saw that First John talks about if you just have anger in your heart, it's the same as murder. And Jesus says if you're angry, if you have hatred in your heart, it's the same as murder. We haven't kept the Sabbath day holy. How about the fifth commandment? Anybody know the fifth commandment today? The fifth commandment is to honor your father and mother. We've blown that one out of the water, haven't we? You know what? The first two commandments are honor the Lord your God. Keep. What's the first commandment, guys? Honor, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul. You know, keep God first, the first two commandments. You break the first one, you might automatically break the second one. And how do we do that in our life? Well, we have other things ahead of God, don't we? Money, career, sports sometimes, fishing. We can put all kinds of things ahead of God in life. All kinds of our children. We can put our children ahead of God. We can put our families ahead of God. We break that first commandment all the time. The truth is, there's not a commandment God gave us that we haven't broken. And the penalty for that is death. And God loved you so much that although you broke the law, although I broke the law, although we deserve death, He, God, came down to us and paid the death penalty for your sin, for my sin, so that all who believed on His name could be set free from that penalty and have eternal life forever and ever. Somehow, I don't understand this. I read it and believe it by faith. Somehow when He died on the cross and you believed on His name, or maybe you haven't done that today, maybe you haven't given your life over to Jesus today, but somehow when you do that, He takes away your sin. He paid the penalty for that. That part I can sort of get. But here's the incredible part. That's not where it stays. He not only takes Scott's sin when he believed, He gave Scott His righteousness. He took Scott's stuff and gave him Jesus' stuff. So when He looks on Scott on Judgment Day, when He looks at me on Judgment Day, and I believe Him, and He says, why should I let you into my heaven? And I say, God, you shouldn't. I'm a miserable, wretched sinner. But Jesus paid my price for me. He says, I see Jesus on you because He gave you His righteousness. Come on into heaven. You don't have to get it. You just got to get it. Right? You just got to give your heart to Jesus. You got to believe. The Bible says you got to believe that He died on the cross for your sin. You have to confess with you, believe in your heart that God, that He died on the cross for your sin, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And the Bible says you will be saved, and it promises you and your household. You and your household. How is that possible? I don't know, but God said it, and I just preach it and believe it. God somehow works on the family of your family through that. Let's pray. God, I'm so glad the gospel isn't like complicated, like trigonometry or something. We have to go through school for years and years and years to figure out, because, Lord, I'm not that smart. I'm glad it's simple, Lord, that we can, and the wise people, your word says they stumble over it because it's so simple. And children, they receive it because it makes sense. And God, I pray that you would remove every stumbling block right now in the name of Jesus. Every one. I pray that you would take away all excuses in our lives for those who are here that don't believe you. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would grant faith, because the Bible says that faith is a gift. That we cannot take credit for the faith that we have. It's all because of you. And I pray, Lord, today that you would open the mind and heart of every single person here that hasn't made that profession of faith, that maybe they've heard the gospel a million times, but they haven't made that profession of faith. They haven't said, Jesus, I belong to you. I'm giving my heart to you. I'm going to trust you with my heart, Lord. So I pray today that you would help them invite you in. Maybe they don't get it all. That's okay. I didn't get it all either for years. I still don't get it all, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin, that they've sinned and they need a Savior, and that Jesus is the Savior, and that He rose again from the dead to purchase a place in heaven for them. I pray, Lord, that you would help them believe that today for the first time in their life. And Lord, I don't have to have all the answers. Just give them that assurance of salvation today. Time is getting short. This world is changing, not for the better, Lord. And I pray that you would save souls today in Jesus' name. And God, I pray for the mature Christians, those who maybe just prayed with me to receive Christ and believed in their heart, Lord. It's not about a prayer, Lord. It's about belief. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen your people right now through this message that was spoken through Hannah's example. God, I pray that you would make prayer a priority for us, that you would help us tangibly put that on. We have not because we ask not, that we would be men and women full of the Holy Spirit and full of prayer. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would make worship a habit and sacrifice an expectation in our life, that we would sacrifice for the kingdom of God, because there is no greater thing on this planet we can be involved in, not our career, not our sports team, not Monday night football, not anything. There's nothing on this planet more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what the church is here for, is to spread that message. So I pray, Lord, we would sacrifice and be all in for you on that work. God, Hannah gave up her son for that work. And what a mighty man of God he became. Lord, help us all be Samuels that are giving up. Hannah's giving up what's precious to us to pour into the kingdom of God and sacrifice for Jesus. God, I love you today and I praise you. And I pray that you would supernaturally bless every single one here in the sanctuary today for your glory in Jesus' name. If you receive Jesus as your Savior, if you said, Pastor, for the first time, I think I've made that commitment. I think I've talked, I believe Jesus, understood the gospel. I want you to especially you mark on the communication card that you did that, because I want to be praying for you that God will touch your heart and be helpful to you this week. We have a few announcements before the offering this morning, and that is that the mission of South Bay Bible Church is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're all about here. And so we encourage you to be a part of that. And you can do that by, if you're interested in learning more about the church, the orientation class is next Sunday after this service. We feed you lunch and we go through a little bit about what the church is about and how you can be a part of that. So we want to invite you. On that communication card is a spot to check off for that. And that way we have a sandwich for you. Whatever we're eating, we'll get an extra one. And you won't go hungry, so make sure you mark that box if you want to attend that. We encourage you to do that. Also, Dr. Russo is coming here. He's the school superintendent of East Mauritius, and he's going to be sharing a little bit with us next week, this coming Wednesday, for just 15 minutes or so about the budget and all of that stuff that we're going to be voting on the 20th. He's not campaigning. He's not allowed to campaign. All he can do is answer questions and present information. So just encourage you to come out to support him. He's a friend of mine, and he asked to come and share with us, so we'll be blessed to have him. And also, we have Frozen. We are doing our family, this is our first family movie night for this year, and it's Frozen. It's on Friday, May 16th at 8 o'clock, so I encourage everyone to come out for that. We also need helpers for that. We need a cotton candy, snow cone, and popcorn helper. So come out and help with that. And we also need, some other people to help and greet people and show them where restrooms are and all of that. So if you could help, we'll be here about 6 o'clock setting up. So if you could come a little bit early, that would be a blessing. And I just want to tell this group that meets here at 11 that if you come at 10:15, you can have coffee and cake and all kinds of good stuff and meet with a bunch of new, nice, fresh people. And so I want to encourage you to come early each week so that you can have some fellowship time. So if we could get our ushers to come, Chris, Scott, the usher, And let's pray for that offering. Lord, we pray for this offering in the name of Jesus. We bless you and praise you for your faithfulness. Multiply this offering as you did the loaves and the fishes, not only in the treasury of the church, but as a sacrifice that the folks are giving. Multiply it back to them in Jesus' name. Amen.